just to have a time of prayer. And if you have some needs in your heart, if you have some needs in your life, we just want to pray for those tonight before we move on. You know, through Facebook and through these conversations and phone calls, we know that there's a lot of need in the church. When I say need, just things that are inherent to your circumstances. You might think it's not that big a deal, it's something you can just handle, but you know, God wants us to take everything and put it in His lap, if you will. The Bible tells us that we should cast our cares upon Him because He really cares for us. And God forbid we go through a whole day of church services and seeing people and listen to wonderful teachers and having this great fellowship, and then we go home and just feel a little undone because we still have this urgent need. You know why it's your urgent need? Because it's your need. You know, my paper cut might be nothing compared to your massive wound. But you know what? My paper cut is mine. And that's why it's big to me, even though it's not big in comparison to others. So can we just take a moment and really ask the Lord who we've been singing about, and we've just kind of had this wonderful setting that the Holy Spirit has introduced us to, and just really be reminded that God's paying attention, that God really does care. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows what your finances are. He knows what's going on in your body. He knows how to take care of you, sustain you. He knows what's waiting for you when you get home, what's happening tomorrow. All of those things. Sometimes we just forget all of a sudden. It's not because we choose to. The world just wants to just erase all of those things. So can we just pray for that real quick? If you have a need, will you just raise your hand? Say, Pastor, just be reminded, I just have somebody or something on my mind. It's because we just want to share this together. Amen. Let's pray. Father, before we get into your word, before we look into your life, we just pray, God, that we will be reminded that you're constantly looking into our life. You're so ahead of us. There's nothing that brings a surprise to you. Although we might be startled by all kinds of things, there's nothing that you can't take care of. So help us be reminded of that tonight, that you really care, Lord God. We know that other people care. We know that other people really are concerned, but there's just something different, the dynamic of when the Holy Spirit shows up and gives us reassurance. It's more than any type of handshake or a pat on the back or anybody putting their arm around us and saying it's going to be okay. It's just amazing when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Bible tells us there is nothing that is impossible to you, that you're going to walk through every dark valley, you're going to walk through every circumstance that we face. We need that assurance tonight more than anything else. If nothing else, maybe some of us came tonight, and this is exactly what we need to be reminded of, far beyond any song or anything that I'll say in my sermon tonight, but you just need to be reminded that our God cares, our God sees, our God is doing something, and He has never left us alone. We thank you for that, oh God. Now, continue to touch us, bless our hearts, take care of our need. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hey, worship team, thanks so much. Appreciate it. You know, years ago, matter of fact, if you would like to turn to Luke, the 23rd chapter, that's where we're headed here in just a second. Years ago, it wasn't just the most undone thing in the world is if you lost your keys. Didn't it just mess you up? You can't start your car, all this other stuff. You were just at a complete standstill because you couldn't find your keys. Today, guess what it is? It's your phone. Now, I mean, nobody can leave the house with your phone. I mean, we'll make it if the keys aren't there, but if you don't have your phone, you know what to do. Now, here's a cool thing, and I realize we've got, this has happened for many, many years now, but I used to worry about people and their phones. Now I just assume you're reading the Bible. You know, that's to protect my ego, probably, but, you know, or the other problem is I'm worried about you Googling my sources. At that point, really tell the truth. I have no idea. But, you know, we have this phone. There's this piece of article that we become so attached to, we don't know what to do with it. What in your Christian experience would absolutely you would be undone if you took it out of the equation, you took it out of the conversation? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the cross. I'm not the person who said this, and this is just a paraphrase from what I've heard, but, you know, there's just too many sermons that are being preached about the cross. Somewhere in there, the reference to the cross. We preach an awful lot of, hey, you know, let's do our best, and God is with us, and God wants to make you a better person, and God wants to help you through the day, and God wants to make you a better person. But a lot of times, the cross is missing out of all of that, and what happened on the cross. So that's why I want us to go back to the cross tonight. I remember the very first time I took communion after getting saved, it was the Hilldale Baptist Church, not the Hilldale Baptist Church here. Hilldale Baptist Church back in Birmingham. It was right up, I still see it now. It was up there by Jeff Staples, old junior college. And the pastor, I barely knew him, but you know, when you're young and you don't know anything, you just kind of float around with your friends in the church services. And we went to this church service, and that night they were giving communion. And I don't know why this isn't the impression or anything, because it's not that big a deal, but I can just remember that during that communion, I just closed my eyes and just prayed and listened to them through communion. And for some reason in my mind, I'm sure I created some in my mind, this wasn't some kind of vision or whatever, but I just pictured that I took that little plastic, because they still had the little plastic vials even back then, that I just had it in my hand, which just had it at the foot of the cross, and as the blood of Christ fell off of his legs and his feet, that it just filled that cup. It wasn't gross. It wasn't disgusting. You know, I associated it with the wine, but it was just something. I told the pastor after that, and he goes, you know, I've never heard that before, never thought about that. And I said, well, I have either. You know, this is the first time I've ever had communion. And it was just such a neat thing because I associated it with the cross. The sad thing is that I didn't grow up with the cross. I didn't know what was going on with that. I just knew that on the cross is where Jesus died, and there was a whole lot of things I needed to learn. So tonight I want us to look at the cross. It is the cornerstone of our faith. We don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We just have a religion that says do good, do all these other things, and that type of deal without the cross. It is absolutely the cornerstone of our faith. And in this pivotal place in the Bible between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the surrender to Christ and the glory, the victory that was won after the fact when Jesus rose from the dead and came off the cross and all of these other things, we read it, we understand it. But it's not because the Old Testament is here and then the New Testament is there. It's because everything in the Old Testament was leading up to that event where we would be redeemed by what happened on the cross. And everything in the New Testament is what's happening after the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I preach you to the choir tonight. Every one of you know this, but sometimes it just becomes just a fact instead of something that really, really is happening. You know, one of the coolest things that's happened for us is the addition into our family of Craig's wife, Gloria, because their family, they pick these special times when, you know, they're like a lot of us. You have a lot of people. So you collect three or four birthdays and you have this big birthday dinner, big deal around the cake and all this other stuff. And we got invited to one of those. And Debbie and I came home. And, of course, Debbie, the sensitive one, said, you know what? We just don't do that anymore. She said, I remember when we grew up, it was a big deal. I said, well, it was a big deal to us too. It was the only time we ever got dessert. I'm serious. We had Jello with the fruit cocktail in it. That was dessert. Okay, you had a birthday and you had a cake. We got excited about that. But it was never, no big deal. We really didn't do that. So we have started a new thing where we kind of collect everybody in little groups or whatever. We have a big birthday celebration. I think that's awesome. Christianity without the cross is just a menial, it's just a gesture. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's the cross that bridges the gap between man and God. And it's all of this thing because sin separated us from God. Owen Gage said this, the cross is where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. And I hope tonight that I give justice to what we speak about the cross. Look at the 23rd chapter, verses 32 through 43. It says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on the right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, but we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him and said, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Father, I pray in the next few moments as we look at the cross, specifically the things that you said on the cross. I pray, God, that they just absolutely give us a brand new revelation of what that moment was all about. Maybe some of us will go back in our mind to the day and the moment and time where we surrendered our hearts to you, where figuratively we did stoop, kneel, place ourselves at the foot of the cross. And may the mercy that was obtained for us through that moment be so evident tonight. May the grace that we experienced through that sacrifice be expelled in our, be so involved in our life. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 23rd chapter, verse 34, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He says, forgive them. Who was that? Was that the priests? Was that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people that were hurling insults at him? Was it the Romans? Was it just the people that were there? No, the truth of the matter is, directly or indirectly, they all played a role. But when he was talking that, he was talking specifically to these people. We understand they were there, but sometimes we forget. Have you ever noticed sometimes it's real easy to stand aside from the situation and let it just happen all by itself, thinking that you're not a part of it? But this is not one time where we can disconnect ourselves from what happened on the cross. Jesus died on the cross because of us. Jesus died on the cross because of our sin. We know that. It's kind of a fact that lingers out there as a fact, but it needs to become something that is so inherently felt that it becomes a part of who we are. Because it's the appreciation factor. It's understanding that this sacrifice was represented by him. The Bible says it was the sin of the world that crucified Jesus Christ. Not the sins, not the little lie that you told and you told and you told, the time you stole that, did this, did that. No, it's the sin of the world. So, magnify. And I can't blow that out of proportion enough for understanding. There is no they in it. It was you, it was me, it was us. And I don't say that to make us feel bad, but to realize, once again, the rationality of what's going on here. Because sometimes you get disconnected from that as well. It's easy to see Jesus died on the cross, crucified, bleeding, and not associate yourself with it. Listen, I grew up in a church. My mom would take us there, and they had this statue, and there was Jesus on the cross, and there was the blood that was painted on his knees, and there was the wounds in his hands. I never associated it as something that belonged to me. It was always something that was happening up there on the wall on the other side of the altar. But when I got my heart in line with him, that's what happened. But the very essence of the cross is forgiveness. Aren't you glad for that? And I know that's a Christian thing to say. It's kind of a cliche thing to say. Any pastor can say that and get a nod or two. But it's really only the Holy Spirit can take you to that moment to where forgiveness is not something that happened way back when, but it's right now. It provided what happens right now and today. And that forgiveness is always there for us. Christ's first words on the cross was a prayer. It was a prayer of intercession for you and I. Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I'm glad that God covered all the things that I knew and that I didn't know, but also the things that I didn't know. Man, because there's a bunch of them. And I'm so glad they're under the blood. Aren't you? Here's what F.B. Meyer says. He says, in uttering the first cry from the cross, our Lord entered that work of intercession where he ever lives to continue on our behalf. He thinks not of himself, but of others. He is occupied not of his own pain, but with their sins. He makes no threat, but instead offers a tender prayer of pleading intercession. There's nothing worse than knowing you're guilty and somebody says, I forgive you. Now, I say that, that's a trite way to say that. There's nothing worse. I got to tell you, when you are just red-handedly guilty and somebody out of passion for forgiveness says, I forgive you, that just leaves you defenseless, doesn't it? I've always remembered somebody told me when I literally first got saved, they said this. You know what? They may not like you, but you know what? They can't help it when you love them. They can refuse all the things about you, but if you just love them, there's no defense on that. No one can shrug that off that you want them. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He also said this, today you will be with me in paradise. Who's he talking to? We had the two criminals that were there, the Bible calls them criminals. There's another, King James calls them thieves, malefactors. These were evil men. These weren't guys who were just a little bit guilty. You didn't get crucified just because you messed up a couple of things or you crossed the line of red, ran a stop sign. This was, evil stuff that these guys were responsible. The key word in that statement is you. today to you. Jesus made the cross personal. And I've always had a time in my very finite mind understanding that Jesus can love you and love me equally all at the same time. I get confused. I can't even multitask for crying out loud. But Jesus, God, all of this stuff, people around the world that I've never met, and you multiply it. You see, when we put this in the human experience, we can only do so much. You're going to reach out so far. But God did it on all part. That's why we call him Almighty God. But he did that for you. But every time you look at the cross, you need to think of it as this is a personal thing that is for me. This is between me and God. But it's real dangerous to just kind of mix it all up and think, well, he did that for all of us without finding the importance of what he did just for you. I don't know how God does that because we can't do that. But everybody, all at the same time. And it's not because it's the group thing. But it's easy to get lost in the group. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to come to church like this and say, okay, well, they got blessed, and they got blessed, and they got their prayer answered, and they got healed. But you know me, I'll just have to suck it up and keep going. No. That's excluding yourself out of this circumstance that God has. Because Jesus knows where and how to find you. He knows what you're going through no matter what it is. Isaiah 53, chapter verse 12 says, he was numbered with the transgressors. He went to the cross as a thief, basically, as an evil person in the sight of the Roman, Roman guards and everything. Not because of the things that they had actually done, but you know what? They were convinced. They didn't care. But there was other people that really didn't like what Jesus did. He reminds us that he was the worst of all sinners at that moment. But the worst of all sinners can still be saved. Do you have somebody on your unsaved list? Do you have somebody seriously coming? You don't have to tell me who they are. But somebody goes, you know what? I pray for them. This is the way they act. This is what they say. I just don't think they're going to happen. That's your human expression. We should never give up on that because Jesus did it all. And where did all this take place? Listen, salvation is not a religious ceremony. It's not you doing enough good. It's not, a contribution to society. All of this took place in the place that we're talking about, and that is the cross. He was crucified between two thieves. One was rebellious. The other was repentant. One said, hey, you know what? If you're Christ, then save yourself and save us as well. The other said, don't you know that we're guilty? This man hasn't done anything. But yet, he was the one that heard those incredible words. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Another thing that Jesus said on the cross is, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, when I first got saved, I had a little bit of dilemma with some of this because I just didn't have any background. And I didn't understand why that was so important. I just kind of glazed over. You've done that in the Bible, parts of the Bible you don't know? You just kind of glazed over. Well, let me ask you, have you read every part of a contract with your car you sold, bought, Have you read everything when you signed for a house? Did you read every word? No, you trusted somebody. You just glazed right over it. Most of you did. Some of you are just weird that you did that. But I honor you. Okay? But that's what I did with most of the Bible. Then I began to understand what was going on. And at the crucifixion of Christ, guess what? The sun didn't shine for 3 hours. There was this incredible event because God had turned his back on Jesus. Now, I don't like the way that sounds. And I may not say it correctly, but what happened is Jesus didn't just kind of take on our sin. It wasn't that he took on my sin and kind of carried it on him, whatever. The Bible says that he became sin. Now listen, I don't know how bad you've ever been. I don't know what you've done. And aren't you glad that I don't know? Because I'm certainly glad you don't know about all of my stuff. I've admitted enough for you to just kind of smile every now and then, but that's only because I've been saved for a while. All right? But here's the deal. You take you and your sins and your sins and those sins and those sins, and you multiply them together, they start adding up. This is pretty bad. But guess what? Jesus became all of that so that he could pay the complete price for our sin. There's a million illustrations out there, but you know what? It's pretty nice that if you need help, whether it's physical help, if somebody shows up with another hand or two to help you, or you need financial help and somebody pulls out their checkbook, that's pretty nice. But you know what? It's something different when they say, we're going to transfer your debt onto me. Walk free. You know what? I'm going to take over this job. You go rest. There's a whole difference, and that's what Jesus did. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. It's amazing. And that's why we should never, ever, ever forget the cross. It's not just a necklace. It's not a pair of earrings. It's not something on the front of your Bible. It's what's etched in your heart. Amen. Another thing he said for the end of all things happening on the cross, he said, I thirst. John 19:28 tells us that Jesus just said, I thirst. Listen, I don't see any part of the cross being just a conversation. Now, I don't know in his weakened state what that looked like. And I know a lot of movies have depicted this. But I'm going to tell you what, there was a whole lot of physical agony going on. And whether it was weak or whether it was a cry, Jesus said, I thirst. And I don't know how it affected people down there on the ground when they were looking at it. But when he said this, we understand that the cross is also a place of great suffering. We can't divorce ourselves from that because Jesus didn't just take our place and pay a quick transitional, price for our sins. He suffered for our sins. Suffered. Literally suffered. We're talking about flesh and blood suffering here. So we extend it and we understand that this is an incredible circumstance. Psalms 22nd chapter, the prophetic scripture talking about the suffering of Christ. Listen to this. It says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. The cross was no quick fix for our sin. It wasn't a simple cure. It's something that Jesus desperately went through and endured for us. And the last thing he said on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. It's kind of the word you're anticipating with my sermon tonight. Praise God, it's finished. Sundays are like that, aren't they? Sometimes they can get a little long. Yeah, but that's just the physical circumstances we are. But when we go back to the cross, Jesus wasn't talking, okay, well, now this is finally over. He is making a statement about what has been accomplished. Because in the Greek, that word finished literally means accomplished. This thing is done. There's nothing left to do. I have paid the full price. So, sometimes we really discredit our salvation experience when we ask God to forgive us. And he says, you're forgiven for everything that he's done here, but yet we fail to forgive ourselves. And we fail to act on that forgiveness. I know it's difficult because we still remember everything that we've done. We remember that word that we said. We remember what we told somebody. We remember how we acted to someone. But Jesus says it is finished. I have completed this. And it's not that I have finished it, but it is finished. The price that was paid for your sin. It is finished. Nothing left to do. Paid in full. I haven't experienced this a whole lot of times with the big time items in my life, like a house or a car or whatever. But isn't it nice when you have something you need to pay off, you write that last check or you give that last payment? Isn't there something that you just walk a little lighter, don't you? You're just a little more excited. You can't wait to go in debt again, can you? That's what most people do. There's just something about you paid that off. Woo-hoo, it's exciting. That car drives so much better. Everything is just so much nicer when that happens. But here's the thing you need to understand. There's just something about this to be said about paying in full. Because that was a complete work that Jesus did on the cross. I don't know what your need might be tonight. I don't know if you, and I'm not saying that anybody has forgotten the cross, but it's real easy. And I'm sitting here kind of wanting to be kind of careful with my words. It's real easy to have a Holy Spirit conference and get excited about all that and forget that without the cross, the Holy Spirit conference, it's just another meeting. Without the cross, we're just here singing songs, taking up money. Without the cross, you go home tonight with the same guilt that you brought here this morning. I grew up in a church, and most of you know exactly what I'm referring to, and I always make this statement. I just have all the respect in the world where mom took me for church and everything, but real quickly I began to feel this way. My job was to go to church on Sundays because it never went home with me. It didn't mean anything during the week. It was nothing. I had no relationship. I didn't know what they were saying. I didn't know what they were doing. It was just a place that I was supposed to go with my mom, and I'm glad my mom did that, but nothing stuck. I never heard an invitation given that you could ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I never heard that there was a place that he played in our life. But then I realized when I began to get convicted that there was this real life person named Jesus. But quickly, I understood it was all about the cross, and what he paid on the cross. And that's where we are as well. Amen? You stand with me. Remember this old song? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Now that is either just a convenient song because we sang it an awful lot. I didn't grow up with that song, but it didn't take me long to get into church that it became a part of my life. Started learning an awful lot of these choruses that reflect Jesus and his life, things at the cross. Now I can sing that in my sleep. But God forbid that I can sing it in my sleep, but yet it's not a part of my active day. It's not a part of everything that charges me. When difficulties hit, that I don't remember what happened on the cross. That when I'm tempted to go and do something sinful, that there's power associated with what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And that when I have transgressed and I feel bad and I wish I could reverse everything, that Jesus says, come to me. Come to the cross. I'll forgive you. All of these things are powerful. God forbid they just be facts without the reality of the feeling that's associated with who he is in our life. You sing that with me one more time. At the cross, where I first saw life, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Hey, when was the last time you were at the cross? You're in church. You were here this morning. You were here last Wednesday. But when was the last time you were at the cross? And I don't know how God does this, but even when I can't explain what's going on and I have just the uneasiness in my life, when I go to the cross, God takes care of all of that. And I'd like to just invite you, maybe you have a further need in your life. Maybe you need prayer for something in your body. Because on the cross, it wasn't just that he died just for our sins. He died for healing. He died for our problems, our headaches, our stomach aches, everything. He died for your tomorrow. And God forbid that we leave this place tonight that we don't go back to the cross. Father, will you just give us some sovereign moments with you just for the few moments that we find ourselves once again back to that wonderful place where the cross is. Father, everybody knows what it is to be scared, to be lonely, and not know what to do. And when we were really, really young, and we didn't know where else to go, we were frightened. We'd run to somebody. Usually there was a mother or a father or something. And once we were there, everything was okay. But now we're older. We've become a lot more sophisticated. We're grown up. We're mature. God, forgive us. Forgive us. Well, we've taken life all by ourselves. We've learned to depend on ourselves. Now when we're afraid, we just kind of tend to be big boy or girl about it. And what we really need to do is run back to the cross. So bless us tonight, Father, as we sit in the next few moments at the foot of the cross. Amen. Do you sing this with us? Bill, lead us through this next chorus we have. Again and again and again. Amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.